Hello, hello, and welcome to the Healthy But Human podcast. My name is Callie. I'm your podcast host, and I'm so excited to have you here today listening wherever you are. Welcome, my gorgeous queen. Today's episode is a super fun one. We have one of my friends on the show. Her name is Scarlett Stearns. She is based in Birmingham, Alabama. Scarlett and I became friends about a year ago, actually. We met at this retreat called The Purpose Retreat. And she is just like a little ray of light and sunshine. This girl, I genuinely had no idea everything that she's been through in her life. And then because she just like doesn't carry that, you know, she carries God's love and she carries God's joy in her. And it's so beautiful to see. So when I learned about her past and her story and all of these things that she went through in her childhood, I was just like, wow, like we need you on the podcast to share this, people, because you have a powerful testimony and you're an amazing human. So we have her on today. We're talking all about how to forgive people. That is a hot topic I know a lot of you have been wanting to know more about. We're also talking about God's love and how to really know deeply how much he loves you and how to get rid of that feeling of like, I need to earn the Lord's love in order to be loved. Because that's not how it is. And so I know in my life, I definitely had a season of my life where I felt like I had to be this perfect person in order for God to love me and to be good enough for him. But I definitely can say, like, walking freely, knowing that we don't need to earn God's love, it's a gift, it's grace, it's all the things, it just makes things incredible. So we're going to talk more about all those things. Scarlett's going to share her testimony with you. It's really powerful. So definitely, definitely give it a listen. Before we do that, though, we always start off the episodes with a self-check-in. So wherever you are in the world, just take a moment to take a nice deep inhale through your nose, slow it down. Maybe your day's been a little busy. Just inhale. Exhale, sigh out anything that's not serving you, anything that's eliminating belief, anxiety. Imagine your breath washing out of your mind. All right, let's take one more good inhale just for the fun of it. So inhale in, growing tall. Exhale, dropping those shoulders out of ears, let it go. All right, I want you to ask yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being amazing, 1 being not so hot, how am I feeling today? Never judging yourself, but then following up with this question, why do I feel like this? Maybe something happened, maybe nothing happened, but just getting real with yourself here. And now I want you to ask yourself, okay, so how can I make this day a little bit more joyful? Maybe it's spending time with the Lord. Maybe it's listening to the podcast. Maybe it's just slowing down and inviting the Holy Spirit into your life. Because God does give us joy, and we can't create joy for ourselves. Joy is from the Lord. Happiness is conditional. So joy is what will get us through the days that maybe are a scale of 0. Okay, now I want you to ask yourself, what is something in my life right now that is not serving me? Just take a moment to get real with yourself here. You probably already know if there's something you're doing that maybe isn't creating a better version of you. And I want you to just take a moment and ask yourself, how can I get rid of this thing in my life? Maybe ask God to help give you some guidance in it. Maybe ask God how he can turn this thing for the good. Okay, cool. Next question is, ask yourself, have I hydrated my hot bod in the past 30 minutes? Even if you have, grab your waters, let's hydrate. In 3, 2, 1, cheers. Beautiful. Final question before we get into our episode is, I want you to ask yourself, where do I stand right now in my relationship with God? Maybe on the upper scale, it's I feel super close to the Lord. I know his deep love for me. We're besties. Or maybe you're feeling like you don't know God. Maybe you feel like he's just this thing that you've heard about and he is judgmental and you don't know how you feel. Maybe you feel like a little weird kind of ick kind of feeling or hurt. Just find that in between or wherever you are. And once again, like, don't judge yourself for it, because listen, like, we all start somewhere in our relationship with God, and I know this podcast didn't used to be a faith-based podcast. I didn't used to be walking in my faith. I, in fact, was very mad at God. I was also very hurt by the church. And the Lord does redeem. And my relationship with Him is restored. And I have a relationship with Him that I genuinely have never had in my entire life. And it's so, so amazing and cool. And that's not to brag at all, because everyone can have that. But the Lord wants to redeem you. He wants to restore that relationship with you if it's broken, if you've never even had a relationship with Him. Like, He wants that with every single person. So yeah, I just want to encourage you with that. And okay, but let's move on. Let's get into our episode. Life updates are honestly not that many. I want to like hop right into the convo because it's so good. But I think one update is I have something really fun that I'm working on right now with a friend for you guys. It is, I can't spill it. But anyways, I have something really exciting happening. Praying it happens. We're still like in the planning phases of it all. Also working right now on building an IRL Pilates studio. So you heard it first. The Lord's been calling me to it. We're starting this off by doing in-person beach Pilates and praise classes every Saturday morning. So if you live in South Florida, you should come. It is at 8 a.m. every single Saturday. And even if you don't live in Florida, you can make a trip. So everyone's invited. I'll link it below for you for a little info on how you can sign up, all those things. But we're starting the first one on Saturday and I'm so pumped. By the time this is released, I think we're already going to have had it. And yeah, I was very scared to do these. Let me tell you, very, very scared. Just, I think like fear of, is anyone going to show up? And then I had a friend tell me and encourage me with this, is that if no one shows up, it is because the Lord wants to have that time with you, that blocked out time. So He always shows up. So no, like no one showed up mindset, like that's a lie, because God still shows up. And it gave me a lot of peace, because even if zero people show up, like it's still a win to me. And God's gonna bring the right people to these workouts. So if you've been wanting to do an IRL thing and that's your fear behind it, genuinely, numbers mean nothing. The people mean so much. The relationships, and whether that's a relationship with another person, maybe a relationship with the Lord, like there's no way to fail if the Lord's calling you to it. Okay, so let's dive in. You guys, Scarlett is so cool. She has a ministry called Feel the Smile. Definitely, definitely go check it out. I think the Instagram's feelthesmile.org, but I'll link it below. It is so cute, so fun, and she is the queen of doing IRL events. So if you have any questions about how to maybe start an in-person ministry or have a Bible study in your area or do whatever the thing is, like Scarlett is such a great resource, so definitely reach out to her. But let's get into this, all things forgiveness, all things God's love, all things sharing Scarlett's testimony in her childhood and family life. So let's talk about this. Everyone, welcome Scarlett to the podcast. Hello, Scarlett. Welcome to Healthy Be Human. I'm so excited you are here. Oh my goodness.
And I am so excited to be here. I'm honored that you asked me and can't wait to hang.
Oh, yay. Okay, so for anyone who's listening and doesn't know you, tell everyone who you are, what you're about, where you're from, and all the things.
Yeah. Hey, all the listeners. So good to meet y'all over the screen, over the internet. I love internet ministry because it just brings people that are far away close together. And if we haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Scarlett and I lead a girls ministry called Feel the Smile. I'm super passionate about girls going from wanting to know God to just being equipped to walk with Him. And so that's literally what I feel like my like life dream and life goal is right now, which is the foundation of everything that we get to do through Feel the Smile. So we have a blog and a podcast, which Callie has been on, of course. And we also get to do in-person gatherings here in the town that I live in, Birmingham, Sweet Home, Alabama. It is the best. We love it over here. But I do get jealous of Callie's home and her beautiful beach that she gets to live at, because I've had the privilege to visit and the water looks like blue Kool-Aid and is amazing. And I'm a little far from the beach. But yeah, yeah, that's a little bit about me. I'm 22. I'm a year into post-grad life, graduated from college last spring, and I'm just learning all things young adulthood, giving myself a lot of grace each and every day, learning a lot of things about who Jesus is. And I'm excited to share a little bit about what I've learned about who he is and who he's been to me with y'all today.
Yay! Okay, so before we get into our little chat, I'm curious, what is something that has surprised you the most about post-grad life?
Yeah, I will say the things that people told me would be hard about post-grad life have not been what's been hard for me. And things that no one said would be hard is what has been hard for me. So I'll explain further. People always told me that like finding community in post-grad would be really hard. That hasn't been super hard for me. One, I think because I'm just a people person and I love being around people, I think the Lord was really graceful and gave me young adult friends and community that had already graduated college while I was still in college. So I feel like that transition wasn't super hard. So my little tidbit of advice is if you're in college and you're coming up on graduating, go ahead and find some girls that maybe have already graduated college, whether that's like a young adult group at church or messaging someone on Instagram that lives close to you that's like thriving in young adulthood. Just like finding community outside of college before I graduated college has been really helpful for me. The things that have been kind of hard for me that I didn't really think would be is like young adult routine, like working and not having like fall break or Christmas break or spring break has just been really weird. Like, I think for Christmas break, I remember being like December 23rd, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Like, can I go home or am I supposed to be working? Or, you know, just like different things like that that you didn't realize was so a part of your normal that all of a sudden now is like not a part of your normal. Or even like waking up in the mornings and having to be somewhere every single day has been like a little unique, which my like work life balance is a little different too, just because I don't necessarily like have to go to the office every day. But then even more so on the days when I don't have to go into the office, I still have to have like a routine to like get work done, you know? So I don't know. It's been like little things and like daily habits and routine that have been hard for me that I just like didn't really expect. I think I would take on change like a champ, and I just have not been as much of a champ as I thought that I would.
And that's okay. Like,
It is totally okay. That's where the grace comes in. That is where the grace comes in.
I'm what? I graduated in 21, so I'm like coming up on 3 years out of college, which is so wild. And I still, my routine is genuinely like, so I still am navigating adulthood.
And it's sometimes it's just different every day, and like different's not bad. Different is okay. And we just have to realize that. So
Yeah, I also think we live in a society that's just so like hyper productive focused, and it's a very like striving for perfection in every aspect of our life. And like, honestly, that's not realistic. Like, every day it just looks different, and like, it doesn't like just because we maybe don't get everything on our checklist done for the day doesn't mean that we're a failure and or unproductive, or just because we missed our workout for a day, like, doesn't mean that we're lazy. It just, you kind of have to like take it with ebbs and flows, because that's just life in itself. That's what I've
It
been learning.
is. It is. Life will always be changing. We will always have things come up in life. We're always going to have a trip to go on or something that we're doing on the weekends. And you do just have to learn that you just have to embrace whatever your normal is for today and make that work the best for you. And be okay if it changes tomorrow.
And it's so funny, because I've been like recently seeing the fruit of just surrendering my day to God at the beginning, and just being like, God, what do you want me to do today? Because ultimately, like, he knows what's best for us every single different day. And that's been like really, it's given me a lot more peace and just kind of kept me grounded, honestly, in the midst of I could be doing a million things right now.
Yeah, that's so good. So good. I love that.
Okay, so aside from post grad, you are also running your ministry, Feel the Smile. And I would love to hear how that idea started for you and Yeah, I would love to know, like, because it's obviously, I mean, you're doing big things with that, and it looks so fun. I would love to go to an event, but you don't live
No,
super close to
please.
me. But I
We
would love to go to
can do
one.
one. We can do one in your town. I'll come to
That'd be
you.
so fun. That'd be
We
so
could.
fun. I would love that.
Yes, I would too. We'll have to brainstorm that and do it. So yeah, feel the smile. I never thought that I would do something like feel the smile at the age that I am. I knew that I wanted to pursue some sort of like ministry-esque type thing. When I was probably like 16, obviously the blueprint that I had then is not the blueprint that we are literally living out now. But I just remember like going to college, like I just felt like the Lord was like calling me to more. And I didn't really know what that would look like or what that would flourish into. But every desire that I had that I started to notice was, I don't know, like sparking my interest, I would really just like hone in on. So my like sophomore year of college, I started to notice like I was just really passionate about coming alongside girls in the season that they were in. And, you know, a lot of people say a way to identify, like maybe what the Lord's called you to or a gifting that He's giving you is to think back about what you loved, like as a kid. And I can remember being in seventh grade and me and one of my friends started this like mentorship thing at our school for like the younger kids, the kids that were in the grade below us. And so that's just so funny because that just never went away. It just grew into different ways. And so my like sophomore year of college, I started spending time with girls that were in high school. And I just like loved talking about like what they were struggling with and being able to come alongside them with any encouragement that they were needing in that. And I would just lead a Bible study for them and hang out with them like once a week. Also in that same period of time was when I was starting to have opportunities to like speak and share my story. I've always been an open book about my story and just kind of like the things that the Lord's done in and through it. But I don't think I ever realized that it would get to be like a platform where I would get to tell people about who God's been to me so that they can know like who He wants to be for them too. And my sophomore year of college, all of that was just kind of happening at the same time where this like desire to speak life into girls was growing, but then opportunities to do that on bigger platforms was also growing too. And was really just taking opportunity as it came, was just saying yes to things that I normally like wouldn't say yes to because it was just new opportunity. And did that for probably like a year and a half. And then it's actually a little crazy, but I, long story short, had someone come into the store that I was working at and they like prophesied over me about leading a women's ministry. And I didn't tell them anything about what I wanted to do. They asked if they could pray for me and they were like, "Is there anything that you're praying for?" And I was like, "I'm praying for more speaking opportunities," because I was just getting into that. I was praying, I can't remember the second thing I was praying for, but then the third thing I was praying for was a husband, which is just funny, but like so authentic because all of us single girls are always praying for a husband. So those were like the two main things I was praying for. And as she was praying over me, she was like, "God, I thank you for the women's ministry that Scarlett's going to lead and the thousands of women that she's going to impact through like sharing her story and being obedient to what you've called her to." And I remember when she said that, I was like, "I haven't told her anything about like what I want to do." And I just like wrote down like things that she started to speak over me. And while she was praying, she was like, "Scarlett, like I know that the Lord is calling you to do big things, but I also feel right now in this moment like He's telling me to tell you that you need to be bold." And I left that conversation like, "I don't understand what you mean, God, by like, I need to be bold. Like, I am bold." And I just remember being like, "I'm open about my story. Like, I share things on Instagram. Your average 21-year-old doesn't share like about Jesus." So I was like, "I don't understand what you mean for me to be bold." And in that moment, I remember just feeling so heavily in my spirit, the Lord calling me to start a blog and really just taking the encouragement and wisdom that I had learned in my season in college and sharing that with other people who may be new to those struggles, or who may have been experiencing those struggles for a long time and just didn't know where to seek that encouragement from. And so that was April of 2022. And I had heard the phrase, feel the smile at church, which a lot of people always ask, like, where I got that phrase from because it's unique and you don't ever hear it. But I remember we had a pastor speaking at our church, and she was like, every time I come to y'all's church, I can just feel the smile of God all over this place because his favor and his joy is so evident. And I remember when she said that, I was like, that's exactly what I want the girls that I get to impact to experience. It's just God's favor and God's joy and his purpose just coming to life in their life and them just flourishing in that. And so when we were coming up with a name for the blog, through like a series of events, we ended up landing on that. And then June of 2022, the blog like went live. And I would literally just write one blog a week, and I would post it on Instagram and then develop other content from that and just practical ways for people to experience what we were teaching them in the blog and be able to put that into practice in their life. And then from there, it really just kind of grew organically. I prayed every day. I was like, God, if you want me to do this, then you need to give me the creativity. And you need to give me the words to do it because I was like, I can't do all of this on my own. Which, of course, when the Lord calls us to do something, we don't always see what He's already equipped in and through us to be able to walk out what He's leading us to do. And so, He did. He literally just wrote, I think in the first month, I had like 25 blogs written. And then God just like gave me the rest on top of that, which just literally only from him because I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Which I think, side note, one of the things that I really struggled with in starting Feel the Smile was I was like, if I don't want to do this perfectly, then I don't want to do it at all. And God's not calling us to perfection. He's just calling us to obedience. And he just wants us to take the first step and the rest of the steps will follow after that. And he will show you how to be excellent in those steps, but he knows that it's okay to start the beginning small, and then it's okay to even start the beginning and still now, a year and a half in, me being like, I don't know what I'm doing, but like, I'm just trying to say yes and amen to whatever I feel like he's leading me to. And so, to anyone that has a dream that they want to start and pursue, like, don't get caught up in doing it right. There's so much beauty in doing it wrong because that's where God can show up and show you how to do it the right way. And when you just become so dependent on him. And from that moment, it's just grown. We started doing like a guided devotional the beginning of last year. And then fast forward to this year, we actually re released one that girls can purchase and just have be a part of their every day. Now we've also flourished into doing a podcast that we have. And then we also do a monthly in-person gathering, which is really just a place for us to help girls develop community together. I think we are in a generation where people are hungry and they are longing to know God, but we also live in a generation where people just don't know how to do it. And I think God's given us wisdom to help people go from wanting to know God to helping them be able to walk with Him in that. And so that's really where all of our avenues of ministry come together with one vision, is being able to help girls know how to walk with the Lord, whether that's a podcast that they're listening to on how to navigate singleness, or a devotional that they're reading on how to feel the smile in their every day, or a gathering that they're experiencing of finding community with other girls who also want to walk with the Lord, is really just what we have grown into and what we are saying yes and amen to today. We have a lot of fun things that are just in the making, and it just grows every day. It's scary because there are just so many days when you were like, how am I literally supposed to do this? And you just feel like you're living in the shadow of this big God dream, but God can only be as big as your dream will allow him to be big for you. And so we're just dreaming big dreams and believing that he's going to show up in big ways. So.
Wow, that's amazing. Like you said so many things that were just like, yes, literally just spitting the truth out there. I love the fact that like, yeah, like sometimes we can put God in a box. And I mean, he like, I think I mentioned this before on the podcast, but there's like a photo of a little boy holding a teddy bear, and then behind him is God holding an even bigger teddy bear. It's like when we just step out in faith and obedience, I mean, we oftentimes have no idea what the extent of that dream God can do and work in our lives. Like, if we just surrender it to Him and release control, and we're like, take the reins, Lord, and He'll like lead us down even bigger and better paths than we could ever imagine, but we can't do it in
so
our own
strength.
We can't do it in our own strength, like you were saying, because like, yeah. when we do that is when there's burnout, when we're just like overwhelmed, fear can happen and all those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. But I want to move in a little bit to your story, because I know you have a really, really powerful testimony. So I would love to just kind of like from your childhood, we were going to talk a little bit about God's love today and how we don't need to earn God's love, like how it's not conditional. I think that's a really common feeling. People feel like even if they've been told that, it's still like, oh, I feel like I need to earn God's love sometimes. So, okay, Scarlett, if you don't mind, like, tell us a little bit about where you come from, like this, your childhood story and like your family and all those things.
Yeah. So growing up, life definitely looked different than maybe what your average girl childhood would look like. I lived with my mom, and she was a single mom. My biological dad was never in the picture. And as long as I knew it to be, life was great and life was normal. I did dance, played soccer, had friends over, tried cheerleading. That didn't really work out, but we tried it. And just lived like a normal life that I thought my friends were living. And then when I was 8 years old, my mom sat me down and in the best way mom knows how, explained to me that she had a drinking problem and that she was going to move away to get help. And I remember in that moment, my eyes were kind of open to noticing things about my childhood that were out of the norm that my friends at school probably weren't experiencing. And a lot of that looked like always being around drugs and alcohol, always being the only kid in a room full of adults, kind of going along with my mom to parties, to friends' house when people were doing a lot of things they shouldn't have been doing. Honestly, like a super over-sexualized childhood of just seeing things, watching things, being around things like a little girl should just never be around. So really experiencing that just like pure innocence that us little girls carry, just kind of like ripped away at a young age. And I didn't know anything apart from it, which I think is a blessing in disguise, because I just kind of let the Lord use my normal the best way that I knew how, but started to realize that what I was experiencing just wasn't what other kids were experiencing. So when I was 8 and my mom moved to rehab, I started bouncing around between my family from aunts and uncles to my grandmother and back and forth again. Tried to live with my mom again for a little bit, and that just didn't work out. Unfortunately, like her abuse with alcohol just never really got any better. So when I was 10 and we started to realize, okay, like Scarlett's mom's not getting any better. This is super just emotional, super draining on everyone else in the family. Also, there was just a level of protection that wasn't able to be put up in terms of boundaries between my mom. Obviously, you run into like state battles and custody issues and all of these things. And then like just my family that I was living with. So they were realizing we need to find something that's more stable for Scarlett, something that offers a bigger level of protection, because we know she doesn't need to go back to what she was experiencing, which is just such a blessing that you obviously don't realize the blessing that it is when you're in it, but you do when you're now 22 years old, looking back on it. So at 10, I actually moved to a children's home here in Alabama. And I remember I'd always been fearful of one thing, and that was to live with people I didn't know. And at 10 years old, that became my reality of moving in with a family I didn't know. I remember I experienced a lot of fear and a lot of worry. And the first moment that I ever experienced the Holy Spirit in my heart, where I was able to identify it, was a moment where they told me where I was moving. And it was like the Lord immediately exchanged that fear for excitement, and it immediately exchanged that worry for peace. And I knew that God had a plan for what he was doing. And during that time, I obviously started going to church with some families that I was living with and started to hear about Jesus. And growing up, you know, I never really believed in fairy tales. I can remember forcing myself to watch Cinderella because my friends at school watched that, but there was never anything that like really resonated with me about like the fairy godmother and all those things, because I was like, okay, like this just isn't real. And I remember as I started to hear about Jesus, I was like, you just like believe in this guy and then like he brings your chaos into order, or you just like believe in this guy and he makes life good again. And when I was little, and I would ask my mom about like the Tooth Fairy or Santa Claus or Easter Bunny, and I would be like, "Mom, is Santa Claus real? Is the Tooth Fairy real? Is the Easter Bunny real?" My mom would always say, "He's real if you believe he's real." And so that was really what my foundation of faith was as a little girl. And so as I heard about Jesus, the only thing I knew about believing in something that seemed to not be real was that he would be real if I believed that he was real. And I think that's what faith is we believe in something that we can't always see. And we choose to believe that it's real if we believe that it's real. And I just knew that my life was chaotic and that if Jesus could bring my chaos into order, then I was going to believe that he was real. And I knew that my life was full of a lot of anxiousness, but if he could bring peace to my anxiety, then I was going to choose to believe that he was real. And I think because of what I'd experienced and because of what God knew I would continue to experience, he really did give me the eyes to believe in who he was at a young age. And so as I moved to Big Oak, which is what the children's home is called, and as I moved in with a family that I'd never met before, my foundation was just built on trusting in who Jesus was and in who I'd seen him be to other people and who I believed that he would be to me. And even though I was 9 and 10 years old, that was just what I just believed in my heart. And obviously, that was such a gift and still is such a gift because every wave of hardship after that was just a level of experiencing who God is, despite what earthly circumstances looked like. Because from that moment, I ended up living with a few different house parents. When I was 16, my mom ended up passing away. And I just went through seasons in my life where I was like, I know that God is good because he's promised that to us, but I don't understand how a good God could let things like this happen. And I don't understand how God loves me, yet every person that he's used to show his love to me is being ripped away from my life. And just went through a season where I was like, I'm choosing to believe in my mind, but I don't understand in my heart, like why all of this is happening. And when I moved in with my mom and dad, who are my mom and dad now, I was 16 years old, and I was just so closed off to receiving any sort of love for them from them. I remember being like, my friends have been better family than y'all will ever be because they've stuck around longer than any other person in my life. I remember being like, y'all will never be my mom and dad, because I don't need a mom and dad. I've tried to have a mom and dad and it just hasn't worked out. And I've had a lot of people say that they've loved me and they've ended up walking out of my life and having to love me from afar. Therefore, whatever y'all think that this is about to look like, just go ahead and throw that out the window because it's just not going to be that. And honestly, like was stuck in that like hardened heart mindset for probably like 4 or 5 months. And I remember walking through a season with them where there was never anything I could do to push away their love. There was not anything I could say. There was not an attitude that I could give them. There was not a rude comment or remark that I could share with them that would push their love or their desire to love me away. And in that season, I learned so much about God's love and who God is. Because there is nothing we can do to earn or lose God's love. If there was something that we could do to earn God's love, that would mean that there would be something that we could do to lose it. But God's love is not conditional. It's not based on who we are or what we do. It's based on who he is and who he has created us to be. Because we are his children and he has created us to be his kids. He literally was created to love us, and we were created to love him. Therefore, the foundation of our relationship with God is based on his love because it's based on who he is. And we know in his word, the Bible tells us that God is love. And we know that from his love, are we able to experience all of these other things in his life? Only from his love are we able to experience the absence of fear, the absence of worry, because we trust in his love and how much he cares for us. So I feel like through all of those things, just learning so much about who God is through people, but also who God is aside from people, because we can't always base who God is on the actions of people, because people will fail us, unfortunately, because we live in a simple world. But God shows up for us every time, even when people don't show up for us the way that we thought that they would. And even when people show up for us the way that we thought that they would, when they do fulfill our expectation, God's always on the other side, ready to show more of who he is and more of his love to us. And it's just been the sweetest season since experiencing all of those things to be able to live a life of sharing that love with other people, because there's so many people who have had God's love misrepresented to them through other people. But those of us that know who God is have an opportunity to share that with people and to share his love with them too.
You may have heard me talk about this before, but something I've been prioritizing in 2024 is taking small actions each day to improve at least 1% in my physical, mental, and spiritual health. One of those daily healthy habits I've been loving is taking care of my gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. I first started taking Seed way back in 2019 when I was having all sorts of painful gastrointestinal issues and was getting no answers from my doctor. During this time, I dove into the world of holistic health and learned how important a healthy gut microbiome is for the rest of the body to thrive and feel amazing. So I started consistently taking a daily probiotic for the first time ever and experienced significant ease in my bloating. My digestion became healthy and regular, and I noticed an increase in my energy levels and mood. One of the many things I love about Seed is how easy it is to fit Seed into my daily routine. No refrigeration is needed, and the free travel vial from the welcome kit allows you to take DS01 on the go, which we love, especially with summer travels right around the corner. As you know, I'm currently pregnant and I'm super cautious about what different things I'm putting into my body, so I definitely feel reassured taking DS01 over other probiotics because of their rigorous scientific testing and 24 clinically and scientifically studied strains. Trust your gut with Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/Cali and use code 25Cali to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DS01 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/Cali, code 25Cali.
Introducing Wondersuite from Bluehost.com, the tool that makes WordPress wonderful for everyone. Website creation is hard, but now with Bluehost, you can answer a few simple questions about your business and goals, and the Wondersuite tools will automatically lay out your WordPress website or store in minutes. Seriously. From there, you can customize your design, pick your brand colors, and add blocks. No custom theme or coding required. You'll get content suggestions that you can keep or revise. And with Yoast SEO built in, we automatically help you get found in search engines. From step-by-step guidance to suggested plugins to an AI-powered help bot, our built-in tools make WordPress wonderful for everyone. Whether you're a beginner or a pro, you can join over 2 million Bluehost users. Go to bluehost.com/wondersuite. That's bluehost.com/wondersuite.
Wow, thank you so much for like sharing that with everyone. That's such a powerful story. And like, I mean, I can see the fruit of just everything like through you. I mean, you carry so much of just the fruit of the Lord. I mean, you have so much joy and wisdom, and I mean, you share so much love with others. So it's like really beautiful. Like when I first met you, I had no idea that you grew up, that was your childhood. I had no idea, because you don't carry that with you. Like you carry God with you and not like that identity of the past with you. I'm curious to know, so for anyone maybe listening who is kind of in the season of maybe not knowing God that well, like they're walking in the season where the people are letting them down, they're carrying a lot of unforgiveness, bitterness toward other people or towards God or towards the church or towards themselves. How did you forgive the people in your life who let you down? And how did you forgive God as well, like even in those dark moments?
I think it took a realization of knowing that people are never going to fulfill the desires that we have in our heart. And we can desire an expectation from people all day long, But we also just live in a fallen world and bad things happen. And bad things don't happen because God's mad at you. Bad things don't happen because God's disappointed. Bad things happen because we just live in an unfortunate world, because of the result of sin. And I think sometimes we can have this expectation, that maybe could even come from like fleshly entitlement of like, you should have shown up for me. Like you were my mom. Like you were supposed to be my mom. You were supposed to be my dad. Like your job, your one job, your one thing to wake up to do in the morning was to care for me. And people didn't do that. And I also think there's a lot of value in being honest about what you've experienced and what hurt about what happened between you and like the person that you need to forgive. For a while, I think I just like buried the fact that like it hurt me that people walked out of my life, and it was hard for me to be honest about that. And I think for a little bit I tried to just be like, that just is like what happened, like that's just how it is. And it is how it is, but it hurts when people aren't the people that you thought they were going to be to you, and when people aren't the people that maybe they even said they were going to be to you. But also, I think there's a lot of power in knowing that even though they weren't the person you wanted them to be to you, they were never going to be able to be the person that you thought that would fulfill you. Only God can do that. And when we realize that, we're able to give grace to people because we know that they were never going to be able to live up to that in the first place. And that we were never going to be able to live up to what maybe they even hoped we would get to be for them too. I do think that forgiveness is a choice. It's not something that you just wake up in the morning and are like, I'm stoked to forgive some people today. You know, like it's like every day forgiveness is a choice. I mean, there's moments still, like even things that I experienced with my parents where I'm like, it just like reminds me of things, you know, of things that hurt that they did, things that they said that hurt me. But I just have to remind myself, like, I'm choosing to forgive them because I'm going to choose to love them because God chose to forgive me and because God chose to love me. Because even though our sin, like, we've all have different variations of maybe like what our sins look like to God, a sin is a sin, and sin was once unforgivable. Like, the result of our sin used to be death, you know, but because of Jesus, the result of our sin is mercy and grace, and we get to have life. So who am I to withhold that from another person when God showed that to me? And obviously that's not like a perspective that I just like had overnight. That perspective came from like a lot of years of honestly like burying feelings and then having to like resurface those feelings and talk about those things and having hard conversations, and being honest with God about the things that I've experienced and being like, I felt like you didn't show up for me. But in that moment that you are able to be honest with God, He can only heal as much as you're willing to be honest. And it was in the moments where I was able to be like, God, why did you let that happen? That the Lord was able to reveal why He let that happen. And He was able to show me how He used it and just purify my heart even more to be open to His plan for my life, even if His plan comes with some high highs and some low lows. It's so worth it, to experience the freedom of being able to forgive other people, and also to forgive yourself. Because when you are a kid and you experience having a parent wrong you, and then you have to live in the consequence of their decision, it can be really easy to take on the guilt and shame of this choice that they made. But to anyone that's listening who has experienced that, you were not created to carry someone else's burden. You were not created to carry someone else's shame. And for me, I got to a point where I was like, I refuse to live as a result of someone else's bad choice. And I'm not going to let unforgiveness darken my days because of a choice that someone else made. Like, that's just crazy. Like, why would I let someone else make a choice that impacted their life, steward the outcome of mine? Like, I would never want to do that because I have a life that I want to live and I have a way that I want to get up in the morning and live my life on fire for Jesus or just on fire for whatever you're passionate about too. So give yourself grace in the process of forgiveness. Give yourself grace in the process of experiencing who God is and what He wants to do in and through your life. It won't happen overnight, but you have an opportunity to make a choice every day to live resiliently, forgiving other people.
Yeah, it's so good. And like, even with forgiveness, I recently learned, I mean, it doesn't, like, when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean that you're saying, like, what they did was okay.
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't make that okay, but it is a weapon that we have because when we forgive others and release that debt or the pain they caused upon us, we think, okay, we're handing this off to God now to deal with. Like, this is God's thing. Like, it's not my responsibility to take out my wrath on this person or revenge on this person. Like, you're giving it to the Lord. And then in doing so, like, asking the Lord to like shape your heart in a way that allows you to see that person from his perspective and have compassion on that person. Like, I was taking this class in my church called Inner Healing, and if anyone listening has access to anything like that, it was one of the most life-changing classes I've ever taken because I basically call it Holy Spirit therapy because
Yeah, I love it.
it's like the people leading it were just talking about how like they worked with people who were in prisons and some of those people had like their parents murdered and they were like, how am I supposed to forgive the person that murdered my parents? And it's just like what that person did to their parents is not okay. Like, there's no way that murder is okay. But like, just through that, like asking the Lord to show them, like, okay, maybe the person that did that sin and like wronged them, maybe they had someone in their life that did the exact same thing. And like, they're carrying on that bitterness and it manifested itself into that rage and anger and violence. Like, that's the thing that I really learned recently is like a lot of times people that do things that hurt us in our life, I mean, they're hurting, and like someone else in their life has deeply hurt them, and that is like a chain reaction. And so when you're talking about like, I decided I didn't want to continue like and carry what your mom was doing and all those things, like you chose to end that cycle right then and there. And like, that's just so beautiful to see because like we don't have to carry down generational sin or carry down all these things that our parents and grandparents and great great grandparents have done. Like, we can break off these curses like in Jesus' name. Like, we can end the cycle, but it is up to the Lord and the Holy Spirit to really reveal to us what those things are. And in doing that, like, we can ask Him to reveal these things to us because He's our Father. Like, He wants to help us and He wants to show us these things.
I totally agree. And I love what you said about like viewing them the way that God views them, because I think like the Lord always develops so much compassion for people in my heart when I don't know, like hear vulnerably like what they've experienced, you know, like I've experienced it with friends, I've experienced it with coworkers. And I think one thing for my mom was like gaining a better understanding of the way that she grew up and what she had experienced gave me a lot of grace for her behind the choices she was making. And she came from like a divorced family, experienced like a lot of drugs and alcohol at a young age, just a very disunified. Like my grandparents got a divorce when she was really young. My grandfather was like a little crazy. With like got into the party scene at like a really young age. Felt like kind of like the black sheep of the family. Didn't feel like she had anyone to do life with or walk with. And then she just so happens to get pregnant with me at basically like one night stand, you know. And then you think about like when I put myself in her shoes of thinking about like, I'm lost. I don't feel loved. Now I'm pregnant, and that's just for whatever reason, like a physical disgrace that people just want to put so much guilt and shame on. You don't feel like you can connect with your family. The only thing you've ever known to resort or turn to is drugs and alcohol. You know, like when you look at them, like I want to say almost separated from the personal emotion that you have for them and see them as a human that God created that's just hurting in a hurtful world. you can have a lot of grace for them for the reason behind, like, why they did what they did. Now, I do agree, like, with what you're saying. Just because you forgive doesn't mean that you're saying what they did was okay whatsoever. And I think, honestly, that may be what's so hard about forgiveness, because you can feel like forgiving someone is accepting the fact that what they did is okay. Like, that's what it feels like. But you have to remind yourself in your mind, like, that's just not it. Forgiveness is more so for you than it has ever been for them. And forgiveness is letting go of what has been, like, attached to you from their hurt and pain, and allowing you to walk freely, not letting them off the hook, you know, which is what I think it can feel like. But yeah, I think it's so helpful to just take out my, like, personal attachment to a situation, just take all of that out aside. Like, they are a child of God that's hurting, and that is why they make decisions that they make. And unfortunately, hurt people, and we, you people, just so happen to be on the other side of that hurt and pain. So
yeah, and I even see with, like, the forgiveness process, when you are releasing it or handing it off, I also do this with taking thoughts captive. I imagine God is, like, my boss. Like, he's, like, yeah, the CEO of a company, okay? And it's like someone hands me this assignment for my job, and I'm just like, okay, this isn't my responsibility. Like, this is the CEO's responsibility. So I hand it over to the CEO to take care of. That is literally how I look at forgiveness and also thoughts that aren't of the Lord. I'm like, okay, like, this isn't my job to handle this. Like, it happened to me, yes, but God is a CEO of the entire world and universe.
Literally.
So, you know, Lord, take care of it.
Yes.
Like, that visual has helped me so much with
releasing.
That's
so good. I love that.
Yeah. And so also with a little thing I want to add on to forgiveness is that I didn't know this until recently, but unforgiveness can lead to open doors in our life to things of the enemy. So oppression, for example, like when we have a lot of unforgiveness, it can create a stronghold of bitterness in our life. And then that can open doors to a lot more oppression, all sorts of different things like anger, depression, violence, like whatever. So that also was a really good wake-up call for me that, like, forgiveness is really, really powerful. And it is also a form of a weapon to protect us against things that are of darkness and death.
That's so good. Because it is a stronghold that is literally, it's like a spiritual attack, you know? And, like, we have no strongholds, no weapons that are formed against us that will prosper, because God is on our side, you know? And so why would we ever just willingly allow something that we know is not good for us just, like, into our life? I was at a women's conference a couple weeks ago, and I think it was Jenny Allen. She was just, like, going off. It was so good. But she was like, y'all want to know why you're struggling with thoughts? Y'all want to know why you're struggling with temptation? You want to know why you're struggling for sin? Because you're the one that's leaving a back door open for the enemy to come in and attack you. And I was like, that is so good. Because I think sometimes it can be easy to be like, why am I struggling with this? Why am I bitter? Why am I jealous? Why am I angry? Why is it that every time that person walks in the room, I literally could blow up on them and want to leave? Well, I can tell you why, because you're letting the stronghold of unforgiveness, like, resonate on your heart and on your life, you know? And until you can let go of that among a ton of other things that we let have a hold on our life, it's until you can let go of those things that you can walk freely in a room and live the way that God designed you to live.
Yes. Oh, it's so good. I went through a little deliverance ministry for myself. And through that, I didn't realize, like, I was carrying unforgiveness from second grade towards this girl from second grade. And it was like, here's the deal. Forgiveness, if you haven't been practicing forgiveness since you were a little kid, you probably have some, like, unforgiveness in your life that could still be there from your childhood, that could still be causing things. And that's where the Lord comes in to reveal unforgiveness to us. I mean, I went through this, like, pretty intense deliverance thing of all these, like, forgiving people, being delivered from things, whatever, like, it was incredible. But, and I felt so much peace afterwards. Here's the thing, though. I mean, even doing that, it's like an onion being peeled off. I mean, the Lord
It
will
is.
peel us in layers. Like yesterday, I learned the Lord revealed to me even more things I needed to, people, things I needed to release and forgive. And it can feel overwhelming when you're like, dang, I haven't been forgiving anyone my entire life. Like, gotta start. But
Yeah.
He'll show you over time, like, more and more things and people like to forgive. And it gets, honestly, I think it gets a little easier as life, as you like practice forgiving. Cause at first it's like, okay. And maybe if you don't know how to actually forgive, start on something that was really a small situation that like didn't cause a ton of hurt or pain. Like it can be harder to start learning how to forgive when you work on maybe like your mom, like,
yeah,
leaving, all these things like that. That's really
yeah.
painful. So like starting there could maybe be a little hard at first, but try and start like learning how to forgive with things that are a little bit smaller scale. And then as you get better at it, work on things in your life that are maybe more like drastic. But also the Holy Spirit can give you the strength and give you the wisdom and knowledge and all the things on how to actually forgive in those hard things. So always inviting the Spirit in, because I mean, he ultimately can, you can forgive no matter what if you have the Holy Spirit.
No, for real. Only with him can you forgive.
Only. Yeah, we can't do things in our own strength.
Really? That's so good. I love that. Yeah. I love how you said, like, start by forgiving something small, almost like exercise that forgiveness muscle, because we do need to exercise those things. And then before you know it, forgiveness will may just become your second nature, you know?
Yes. Like,
so.
Person hurt
literally.
Me. Forgiven.
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 Yeah.
I want to quickly chat a little bit more about God's love before we bounce. But so we talked a little bit about this before we started recording the podcast, and I want to read a scripture to everyone. Integrate some scripture. So if you have your Bible, grab it. We're going to read Matthew 7:22-23, and I can just quickly read this. But okay, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And this is a verse that I recently, it resonated with me, the fact that like we can make ministry almost an idol in our life if we don't put our relationship with Christ at the first and foremost center of our life and everything built off of that foundation. And me and Scarlett were chatting a little bit about that before we started recording the podcast. And so Scarlett, I'm really curious to know, like, how did you start to build that foundation of just growing closer to the Lord and really feeling his unconditional love and believing that?
Yeah. I want to think, let me think back for a second and just think about how I want to say this. I think there becomes a time in all of our life where our faith has to become like our own. Growing up in Alabama, like, you know, we live in the Bible Belt. It kind of feels like everyone like goes to church. They know the Lord. Obviously, I didn't go to church when I lived with my mom as like a super little kid. But by the time I was, 8 and 9 years old and like living with my aunt and uncle, we were going to church and different things like that. But I think when I went to college, God took me through a season where I had to realize not why we need Jesus, but why I needed Jesus, and not why we need God's love, but why I need God's love and what God's love means for me. And that was just a season of just, I feel like, learning a new aspect of the Father's heart. And a lot of people say that the way that your view of God is based on your view of your earthly father. And for me, my earthly dad was like never in the picture. So I don't think I ever really knew God as this like loving father until like the last few years since I've been in college and just experienced him on my own. And when you start to read God's word, you start to realize how loving and compassionate he is for his people and how loving and compassionate compassionate he is for you, and how his heart was designed to know you. And the only reason he desires to know you is because of his love for you. And when you think about how God is the creator of the universe, and to the extent that he went to show his love for us, where it's from sending his one and only son to die for our sins, or even like I just finished reading through Leviticus and learning all about the laws in the Bible, which felt like I was reading in the trenches. It was so hard. But like above all of that, the purpose of the laws was not so that God could create a list of do's and don'ts, but so that God could make a way just to be with you and to do life with you, because he knew unless he made a way for us to offer up a sacrifice to make our hearts pure, to make our hearts holy, we were never going to be able to be in the same room as him. But he loves us so much, he wanted to make a way to do that. So I feel like for me, it was just a season, and still is, of just reading God's word and learning more about his heart and what his heart is for me. And when you read through scripture and you start to see his heart for humanity and why he did the things that he did and how he does the things that he does, you start to realize the unconditional love that God has for us, and the unconditional love that he literally embodies himself, and then you can start to have that for other people too. I think also just receiving love from people, receiving God's love through people, was another aspect of that. And just learning about God's love, even how I touched on earlier, like through my parents, and just how there was never anything that could push me away from them. And there's never anything that can push us away from God. There's not a sin that we could do that can make God not want to spend time with us. It says in Ephesians 2 that it was while we were sinning that Christ died for us, and while we were sinning that he wanted to make a way to be with us. And when you start to learn those things and learn that aspect about who God is, you can start to just receive his love and who he is for you in your own life too. So I guess a quick answer to all of that is just reading God's word and taking him at his word and trusting his word, because God tells us that he loves us. God tells us that he is love. God shows his love for us in these immense ways, but also it's a two-way street where we have to choose to believe in that as well.
And it made me think too about when Jesus was on the cross, one of the other people that was being persecuted next to him, I mean, I think this was in John. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to think of which book. I know in some of the Gospels it doesn't talk about this, but I think it might have been John. It like mentions this, is that one of the people being persecuted with him actually ended up believing in Jesus in that moment. And then he said, like, see you in heaven. So it just, that in itself is proof that like that man next to Jesus had committed crimes. Like he was a bad guy being persecuted for something, and yet Jesus still like in that moment forgave him, gave him grace, and like his deep love for that person, he still went to heaven, like even after everything that had happened on the earth. Like, not saying obviously to go out and like murder people and be a super terrible awful person, but just like because you got, I don't know, blackout drunk on one night or slept around several times or whatever, however many times it happens, like it doesn't mean that God loves you any less. And the reason that he gives us these laws and these things to follow, like, hey, don't get drunk, hey, don't sleep around, it's not to make us not have any fun in life, but it's because those things look good in the moment, but then they actually lead into an oppression over time. And like, if anyone's like, okay, but how do you know anything about that? I mean, listen to my testimony, because I literally straight up like walked in that for a while. And I can say for a fact, like it doesn't lead it down a good path, but the Lord does redeem. And like, I've had visions of God, like he showed me as I was healing from moments in my life, like where I maybe was like on my bed, blackout drunk, like passed out. The Lord showed me that he was like right there taking care of me. So
yeah. I love that too. And I just think too, like, God's not afraid to be in the presence of your sin. Like, sin doesn't scare God, and he doesn't make laws and the Ten Commandments so that he can be with us, because he doesn't want to be around sin. but he knows that when we are absent of sin, how much closer we can be to him. And he just wants to be as close to us as he possibly can. And I was even just sharing at Feel the Smile Social this week, like Psalm 27 talks about, like, who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Like, only those with clean hands and a pure heart. It's not saying that God's like, you have to be good to get my grace, but he's saying, when you let me purify your heart, like, we get to do life so much closer together. And I just want to do life with you. But it's still, even in those moments, like when you are blackout drunk, passed out on your bed, God just wants to, like, be right there near you and be like, I love you and I have so much more for you. And I want you to have so much joy and I want you to experience different parts of things. He's not saying no because he wants you to miss out on something. He's saying no because he wants you to experience so much more.
Yes, yes, literally, yes. And it's so good and so true. Just like,
yeah,
it's like this sin separating us from God. It's, yeah, it's like an interesting concept, right? Because like, it doesn't mean that God is going to never be with us. But I think if anything, it paints a cloud of deception over us. So we aren't able to clearly see God and experience his presence in a way that we would if we weren't living in that sin. Like, that's how I really experienced it, is like when I've been walking closely to the Lord and like making decisions in my life that I know are God pleasing and aren't just like pleasing to my flesh, I genuinely feel like I hear the Lord's voice a lot clearer than the times when like I maybe filling my life with things that are not of the Lord. Is that's when I feel far from him, and then I'm like, God, I feel far from you.
Yes.
He's like, well, duh, because you're
making, like, I told you,
you're walking down the other way, Callie.
Literally, I always say I've got to be heaven's like biggest comedy show between the things that I worry about and like I'm sure what God has in store, to being like, why am I feeling this way? And God's like, I literally told you this would happen, you know. But yeah, we just keep heaven laughing.
Yeah, we really do. He's like, come on, again.
No, for real, for real.
I just read Judges, not all of Judges, but part of it for the first time yesterday, and I was just like, these people. I was low key like, I guess kind of being judgmental. Sorry, repent of that. But I was like, really, they're gonna like do it again, like the same cycle again. But straight up, like, that happens to us too. Like,
no, over and over. It does. It does. I think about that, like, in the story of Moses, when God called Moses, I just think about, like, when Moses second guesses himself and is like, God, please don't choose me. I'm like, Moses, do you not literally know that, like, God's about to part the Red Sea? He's about to do all these plagues. He's going to lead you out of Egypt. And I just feel like heaven's army is saying the same thing. Like, they're like, Scarlett, why do you keep second guessing what God's called you to? Like, do you not know what he has for you? Like, can you not see it? You know?
I know. He's like, come on. I've already told you so clearly. Literally. Like, what more do you need?
What more do you need? And I'm like, you know what? You're right. Forgive me. I let it go. Forgive me, God.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, this has been an incredible convo. Where can everyone find you, Scarlett, and listen to more wisdom of yours?
Yes. Come hang out on the Feel the Smile page. You can find me on Instagram at Scarlett Stearns, and it's Scarlett with one T. And then you can find Feel the Smile at feelthesmile.org. And then our website is feelthesmile.org. And you can also find all of our info and all the things on there as well.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. You're awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Come back.
I miss you. No, literally, me and my friends talk about that trip all the time, because one of my friends that she came with us, she didn't come to the wedding, obviously, but she like came with us, and we are like, we have to go back. We have to go back. It was so fun.
Please, please.
No, I will.
Okay, well, thanks for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Definitely go give Scarlett a follow and message her if anything in this really resonated with you and you have questions.
Yes.
Also, tag us listening to the podcast, too. We will for sure repost you. And yeah, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I hope you absolutely loved it. If you did, be sure and tag us on Instagram at Healthy But Human Pod, and we can repost you listening to the podcast. Also, don't forget to go follow Scarlett, for real. She is so cool. She is always down to chat about anything, so feel free to DM her. If you live in the area where she has her Feel the Smile events, you should totally go. I would love to go to one. So maybe we'll have to do a little Feel the Smile, Healthy But Human collab in Florida one of these days. But anyways, have the best day ever. Praying that you have the most amazing week and that the Lord would just bless you with so much peace, so much comfort, security, and confidence in your upcoming week. All right, I'll see you next week. Have the best day. Keep being amazing and keep shining. Bye.